Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shalom, Chavarim, to all you who are listening locally today on 1220 AM and as well as on the net. That's www.whkwradio.com.
A lot of W's in there.
A lot of W's. This is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, and she is a very serious and sincere minister of God's Word. You can take my word for that. I've known her for many years. And she really loves to share with you these biblical gold nuggets that she's mining all through the week. And especially about how they these nuggets about the end of this current age that we're living in. And just a reminder, you can re-listen to this show later this week, as well as about 4 years of archive programs, all labeled for you to choose from. A wealth of information on www.shofarministries.net. Now, as we always do, let's begin in prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you again for the opportunity. We bless you for your goodness, for your grace. Be with us today as your word is taught by our teacher. We lift up all the prayer requests that have come to us throughout the week. We just ask you to answer them in your mercy and your grace. And by the strength and the power, by your Holy Spirit and the salvation of your Son, we just thank you today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much, John, for that great introduction as well. Shalom to you and Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'd like to remind everyone that Shofar Assembly is the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland on Route 306, and that begins at 7 p.m. Please come out and join our open forum. And that's a gathering that you will love to be at. And bring your end-time questions. We have a good time.
Yeah, it's a relaxed atmosphere. And if you would like Sheila to come out to your church or your church group, give her a call, 440-834-9006. She'll come out to your home group, too, if you'd like.
That's right. Yeah. And we have a great announcement.
Yeah.
Beginning May 15th on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., the Shofar Ministries Hour will be doing an every week program thanks to a new private sponsor that saw the need for this live call-in Bible study to be available on a weekly basis for all to hear and to learn from. So thank you, S&D, from the bottom of our hearts.
And if you would like to contribute to this ministry to help meet our other needs, send your contribution to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And that will automatically sign you up for the monthly newsletter by either email or snail mail. Just make your request known which one of those that you want. Okay? Well, you know, what are we going to do now? Because I'm missing my old cue. You know, I was looking in the news today, and Syria is still in this awful civil war, and there's nobody really doing anything to stop it. So, I mean,
you're right. And I don't know what to say.
I know. Would you have anything to add to that?
Keep going on and going on.
Yeah. Is this prophetical? Well, you know, you always have that.
Yes. Wars and rumors of wars.
Okay. And how else?
Ethnics against ethnics, Matthew 24.
Okay.
And that's what the Civil War is, actually.
Okay. What about the prophecy about the destruction of Damascus? That's insane.
Right. I'm still waiting for that one.
Okay.
It hasn't happened yet.
Well, it sure is an awful scenario.
It is.
Any good news out there?
Over 9,000 people have been killed.
And violently. You know, I mean, just execution style.
I've been hearing they're supposed to try to do something soon, so hopefully that will happen.
Okay. How about some good news?
Oh, no. We don't have any. Except Jesus is coming soon, you know, and without this bad news, he might have to wait a while.
That's true, and we don't seem all depressed because there's a lot of bad news. Actually, you seem kind of happy to me.
It's that peace that I have.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
I do get excited when I think he's returning. There's the only way we're going to have real peace is when he is ruler from Jerusalem as our king.
Right now in the times we're living, there's a lot of you out there that don't have any peace at all.
Yeah.
And you're People are having meltdowns, and not just losing their temper and saying bad words.
They don't realize that they're not having peace either. That's the other problem.
Yeah, you know.
But as far as news that fits in the prophetic scenario, which is really why I like to report on that end of it, actually, everything does. You know, everything fits into end time prophecy in one way or another because of lawlessness abounding and immorality alone. But I want to reiterate tonight on how the prophets prophesy that all nations will be against Israel. And today I have another example. For instance, the Egyptian decision to be in blatant violation of its 1979 treaty with Israel by announcing today, they announced it, that they are terminating the gas deal with Israel. And again, we knew that because of prophecy, that the peace treaties would have to be null and void with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we see now Egypt is not going to uphold that, and especially with the Muslim Brotherhood about to be reelected.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to get rid of Israel anyway. And they're actually been seen meeting with Iran a lot.
Oh, they have. Yeah. That's not good news.
So really, Jordan's the other one that had a peace treaty, so they're probably going to soon turn as well.
That's too bad. How about us?
Well, I have to clear my throat for this one.
Oh.
Most of us have known for many years that America, too, would slowly depart from Israel's side as well. And in a minute, I'm going to give you a quote recently given by our Secretary of State that supports that we are turning against Israel.
Just in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah, exactly. But as you know, history does repeat itself.
And those who don't learn from history are destined to repeat it.
That's right.
And Sheila told me earlier, if you could tell us where that quote's from, she'll give you a big prize.
Actually, I thought it would be by someone a little more famous. I don't even know who this Edmund Burke is, but apparently in the 1700s, he said this. He's a British statesman and a philosopher. And he actually said that. And boy, a lot of people have used that phrase because it is so true, and yet people still don't learn from the past, though.
They don't.
They really don't. Except Israel. They have learned from the past not to trust anybody.
Yes, they have.
You know?
I always said they get it. They always get it the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, last Thursday, as
mm-hmm.
you probably know, Israel remembered the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they call the day Yom HaShoah.
Yom HaShoah. Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, they have a two-minute siren. And with the last minute being absolutely doing nothing, everything stops, even the traffic. Nobody moves for a whole minute, the last minute of this two-minute siren.
Say,
it is amazing.
Saying?
Never again. Yeah. For the most part, America has been a friend to Israel, and that is the main reason that I think that we've been blessed. But history does show an event that I am sure Israel does remember, and it occurred just prior to the Holocaust, and it was on the Jewish people, of course, and because of it, many died, and I'm going to explain that in a minute. Now, I do realize that it probably would not have stopped Hitler in the Holocaust, but hundreds of lives could have been spared,
mm-hmm.
and here's the event. In 1939, we, America, refused the entry of 930 Jewish refugees when they came on a large ship called the St. Louis from Hamburg, Germany. They were fleeing from Hitler. This was when it was just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they left everything behind.
And they originally were going to Cuba, right?
Yes, they were originally going to Cuba, and they even paid their visas to enter, but when they were very close to shore, their president, and it was President Brew, his name was, he just changed his mind.
Mm.
So the ship traveled on to America off the coast of Florida, and we denied them.
Yes, we did, and that was Franklin Delano Roosevelt that did that, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And he even sent the Coast Guard over to Florida to protect the border so they couldn't even get close. Now, America's excuse was, well, we already met our quota of immigrants. Now, that was true, and we had taken thousands of Jews already. But FDR, he could have done an executive order. I mean, let's face it, it was only under 1,000 people. That's not that many. And now, by this time, they're running out of food and water on the ship, and no one rose up to help. No public eruptions. Everybody was silent. So they went on to Canada, and that was without success as well. So they had to start back towards Europe, and about half were actually accepted by about four countries, like I think it was Great Britain, Belgium, France, Holland, I think. But the rest of them had to return to Germany and soon were sent to Auschwitz and murdered by the Nazis. Now, something else, and this is, to me, I think, pretty amazing, but we actually had planes, America had planes in the area of Auschwitz that could have bombed the railroad tracks or at least destroyed the gas chambers because we weren't far away from them. In fact, we had about 2,000 American planes that were flying over the industrial area of Auschwitz. They Wow. could have done something, and at this point, there were many Jewish communities that were begging the United States to do something.
And where were the Christians, the religious activists or the human rights activists? Where
Right.
were they? Where were those protesters?
We were just, they were just told that there was technical difficulties.
Oh, gosh.
You know? But yeah, anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm. It does sound like it.
And also they had just gotten out of the Great Depression, and they were afraid of Jews taking their jobs.
That's right. And you said, didn't you say that was the left that was afraid of that? The left was campaigning? Well, we don't know. Okay. What does never again really mean, Sheila, when they say never again? We said it earlier. Never again what? Never what?
Well, in my estimation, it means never again will we trust anyone. We have to do it alone before it's too late.
So Israel's going to, they're not going to wait for us to ask.
I don't think so.
Ask,
and that's why many think Israel will go it alone to stop Iran.
I do too.
I don't know. It's really, it would be very difficult for them to do, but I know they could.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, after the Holocaust, and again, we did help Israel after that, and again, that's why I believe America has done so well, because of the scripture that God said, if you bless my people, I will bless you.
Those who bless you will be blessed. Mm-hmm. Very simple.
And then I would say things started to change, maybe beginning in the 90s. Okay, we have President Bill Clinton at the time who made them sign the Oslo Accord. And that kind of started the ball rolling to give away, again, more land for peace.
Mm-hmm.
And now this administration is really the worst. This administration wants Israel to go back to the 1967 pre-war borders, which was a defensive war that they won after being attacked on every border.
Mm.
So the rhetoric that you're hearing from Washington now because of the campaign that we stand by Israel, I believe is a fabrication.
Yeah, we stand by them, and then we watch them die, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I know. I said all that, though, to tell you something else.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2 months ago, another Clinton, Hillary,
yeah.
And by the way, you can see this on YouTube, and you can read it at the CBSNews.com, February 27th it was. But Hillary Clinton, while in Tunisia, now Tunisia is a Muslim country, heavily Muslim country, was there and was asked by a Muslim reporter how an elected president would regain the trust of Arabs after having run a campaign with stances of favor of our enemy, which is Israel. Now, this is a Muslim asking this. How can he, you know, say all the things he says about Israel and expect us to still care about him?
Expect that he's still going to be on our side or help us, you know.
Now, before I tell you what she said, I want to tell you that she could have said many things. Okay, she could have said, well, we believe in a two-state solution with secure borders and peace, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, she says this.
What?
She says, well, first let me say, you will learn as your democracy develops. Now, they had
a revolution.
Last year. So they're new in the democracy area.
Okay.
And she goes on, she says, that a lot of things are said in political campaigns that should not bear a lot of attention. There are comments made that certainly don't reflect the United States. They don't reflect our foreign policy. They don't reflect who we are as a people. I mean, if you would go to the United States, you would see mosques everywhere. You would see Muslim Americans everywhere, and that's a fact. So I would not pay attention to the rhetoric. Secondly, she goes on to say, I would say, just watch what President Obama says and does. He's our president. He represents all of the United States, and he will be reelected president. So I think that that will be a very clear signal to the entire world as to what our values are and what our president believes.
So basically, your response is implying that presidential candidates who take pro-Israel stances are merely, that's just campaign rhetoric. In other words, lying.
That's right.
And it shouldn't be taken seriously.
I know. This is awful.
I know. We're going to be on the wrong side of this. I don't want our country on the wrong side.
I'm telling you, you can go and see this on YouTube. That's where I saw it as well.
Where'd you say it was? CBSNews.com?
There, it's there too, and it's February 27th.
February 27th.
I was just flabbergasted. She's basically saying that what Obama was saying about Israel, and he's been saying a lot of rhetoric lately.
Yes, he has.
It's just not true.
Well, I kind of wondered, because he seems to be talking with forked tongue, as the Indians say.
We are in trouble, but... Again, this all has to happen because the prophecy says all nations will come against Israel.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm reporting it is because of that. I want to show how the news today fits into prophecy.
That's right.
We report, you decide.
There you go.
I think we're going to take a little break, huh?
Okay, well, we could do that. Since we are, I'll just tell everyone that Shofar Ministries is a 501c3. What that means is any tax donation is tax deductible.
Till
they take it away, and extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. And it's easy. You could just use PayPal on our website or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your email address as well if you have one. Be sure to check out the webpage. All our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there for your enjoyment and learning. DVD teachings are also available, and they make a great gift. And the three-part series on the rapture with so many scriptures. Oh, you'll love this study that we did on this program just a few months back. And it's great to hand out to your Christian friends who might be kind of wavering on this rapture thing and not think that we're really going to be leaving soon. And we're going to open up the phone lines, and I'll give you the number right now. This is for your end time question. Remember, keep it as an end time question. 888-677 word. That's 888-677-9673. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a great song by the Crab Family called "Do You Want to Go?"
Yeah.
Do you want to go?
I do.
The tax man cometh, and right behind him is a pack of identity thieves. That's because tax season is a gold mine for these identity criminals, and your tax returns offer all the information they want to steal. Here's a tip. When filing your returns, don't use a curbside mailbox. Instead, take the forms to your post office. Here's another tip. Get LifeLock Ultimate now by calling 1-800-638-6157. When you call 1-800-638-6157, you can get LifeLock Ultimate, the most comprehensive identity theft protection available. And LifeLock Ultimate is the only identity theft protection service that monitors bank accounts for takeover fraud. So call 1-800-638-6157. Mention Enroll 60 and get 60 days risk-free. If you're not happy, call LifeLock within 60 days of enrollment and you won't pay a cent. Call 1-800-638-6157. Check LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
clinical study done exclusively on Dr. O'Hara's probiotics found that women and men who took Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for at least 8 weeks had significantly increased bone density. This is Dr. Natalie Engelbart, scientific advisor for Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. The calcium we consume through milk and supplements is not always absorbed or used to build bone. In fact, without a healthy probiotic population in the gut, calcium can pass right through undigested.
Hi, I'm a home. You know where your heart is? Don't worry, I know how you feel about me. That's why you need to get me flood insurance. If you get homesick after a few days, imagine how a flood would make you feel. Just a few inches of water can cost tens of thousands of dollars in damage. And homeowners insurance doesn't cover floods. But in moderate to low-risk areas, flood insurance starts as low as $129 a year. Visit floodsmart.gov to learn how a flood could affect you.
Y'all help us out with this one. Come on.
There's a beauty program going on in heaven. Construction carried out by God's own hand. 1,500 miles wide, mansions standing side by side. The streets are paved with gold throughout the land. Now they say there'll be no dying in the sea. No sickness and no sorrow will be known.
That's a great song. Boy, it's just do a little more of it for us. Come on.
You think?
Come on.
There okay, you. There it goes.
Do that all over again.
So could I.
Well, let's do it. We'll do it all over again.
Don't you want to go with me to God's new city? Oh, don't you want to hear that heavenly choir sing?
To end. I don't want it to end.
I sure do want to go to that city, though.
I do, too.
Maybe I could hear it one more time.
Well, let's...
You think?
You think? Well, let's go.
All
let's
right.
do it.
Let's do it.
You know, I want to go.
Wow.
Is it going to go one more time?
Oh, no, John. It couldn't possibly be.
Are you sure?
An old Kentucky hillbilly. That's all we know.
No.
What to say.
No. I have a Kentucky hillbilly, though. But
yes,
no.
I'll agree to that. But, you know, I want to go, Sheila, but I want to take as many people with me as I can. And I want you listeners out there, I don't want to go alone. I want to go with all you guys.
That's why we're on this radio show, so that we can encourage people.
Yeah. And hurry up and get saved so you can go with us, because we want to have you there.
That's right.
Yeah.
What a party, huh?
What a party.
I can listen to country music.
Ah, great. Crab Family doing Don't You Want to Go.
That's
always
right.
A good song. We like to, it's a group participation song there. The lines are now open, and the numbers for your end time question is... 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Oh, reminder, our next show for our ministry's hour will be next Sunday, April 29th.
That'll be our final Sunday showing.
Final Sunday show. Yeah, you want to stay for that. And that, again, is 6 p.m. And here's the great news. Beginning May 15th, Tuesdays at 8 p.m., we're going to be on weekly. Every week. So we want to get, so please join us. Don't just follow us right along. We'll be right there on Tuesday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Live
as usual. And hey, I'm looking forward to it. God bless our sponsor for doing that for us. And if you want to be on our newsletter mailing list, either send your request to Sheila at shofarministries.net or use the old snail mail if you don't have the internet and send your address to Box 513, Burton, Ohio. 44021. And please tuck in a love offering to help us stay on the air. We really do depend on you, and God will bless you. Okay, now let's continue. I believe we were going to talk about the mark of the beast today.
Yes, we are, John. And
Revelation 13.
That's right.
Yeah.
Before I do that, though, I'm going to back up and do a little bit of history.
Okay.
You know, I've been liking to do that as a teacher, try to get people to understand where they were before.
Okay. History is always good. Always good.
So let me just say that down through the ages now, actually marking the body was often used by pagan cults to distinguish who one was loyal to.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why God even told Moses that they were not to have any tattoos.
Yes, actually in Leviticus 19:28, he says, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord."
That's right. Tattoos back then were only to false gods and the dead. Today, demonic cults do tattoo their bodies with satanic symbols. So it's still around today. Mm-hmm. However, I do want to point out that it is also a fashion statement today, and it's not all tattoos, of course, are to false gods. Just wanted to.
Yeah, in case you're feeling guilty because of all the tattoos you have right now. Just, I don't think they're to false gods, right?
Right, but they were at one time, and that's why God said not to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Israelites proudly displayed, and the ultra-Orthodox still do today, who they were loyal to and who they are loyal to. And how they do that is they would bind scripture to their foreheads and their hands as requested by God.
Yes, and that's Deuteronomy 6:4-9. I think you're all familiar. That is Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And here it is. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes. So that's the forehead.
That's right.
And, of course, to finish up, you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Right. So
that's where that comes from.
Yes. And Satan is a counterfeiter. So
that's right. He wants to be God.
It's not surprising that he would do that also. And he never really changes, but he does improve his deceptive methods.
Mm-hmm.
He still desires, Satan now, recognition of loyalty, and will even more so during what he even doesn't understand will be his final days, with another mark of loyalty, and that again is explained in Revelation 13.
And, of course, we won't be here for that, thank God. Thank God we won't be there.
No, we're not.
No.
Now, that's not saying that we're not going to see the implementation of it or starting to see. Well, I'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Hinduism now said to be around at least since the year 3000 B.C., wears a mark called a talik on the forehead as a third eye into mysticism, and it's put on in various ways using various methods. But one is the ashes of a sacrifice to one of their deities, and then they mix it with this
red
substance, so it'll kind of look
like
blood.
I think we've all seen this.
So there's another mark.
Mm-hmm.
Now jump ahead forward to the times of the Torah, to during the interim of the Old and New Testaments, when the Roman Emperor actually branded many, including many Jews, with the symbol of the Greek god of wine, Dionysius, I think.
Dionysus.
Supposedly.
Dionysius.
Okay, good. Supposedly, he was the son of the god Zeus.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And who the Antiochus Epiphanes worshipped and put in the Jewish, in the temple, Temple Mount. Right?
Good memory there.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to continue forward into the New Testament times, cities such as Pergamum and Thyatira had...
And we talked about them in Revelation.
Yes, we did. They had well-established trade guilds that could prevent people from conducting business if they refused to participate in the emperor cult. And we do know that Christians all throughout the Roman Empire experienced similar persecutions, some meeting their death.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because, you know, I was raised Catholic, and since in the Dark Ages, which is really Catholicism, it's just fruition there.
Coming to fruition.
That's right.
Catholicism in the Dark Ages.
Once a year on Ash Wednesday, which is the beginning of the 40 days of Lent.
And that's, of course, their holiest time of the year.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They put ashes on the forehead, and that represents repentance.
Mm-hmm. And they get that from where?
Well, actually, the Old Testament talks about how, like Job 42:6 says, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Ashes, okay.
And there's other verses, too, as well. So it's a sign of repentance.
Good.
So John, the Revelator, was not unfamiliar with this type of allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the next mark of the beast takes it to a higher level of loyalty due to its probable implantation, probable invisible implantation. that we're going to talk about in a minute here, but we do know it will be Satan's last hurrah.
Yes, for at least 1,000 years.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And before we talk about the Mark of the Beast a little more, let me just remind you that we have a spiritual mark that God gives us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are we sealed, John?
Yeah, we are. We are sealed. I don't know if you can see it in the mirror just yet, but in 2 Corinthians 1:20, you might want to go look in the mirror and check for this. 2 Corinthians 1:22, we read, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the days of redemption. We're sealed.
That's right.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. Now, what about the Jewish believers in the tribulation?
Yeah, that's also called a seal, and that's on the foreheads of the 144,000 to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And in Revelation 7:3, I'll read this, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And don't read into that verse, folks, that more than 144,000 Jews will be saved. It's just that 144,000 will not be able to be touched
Satan. And they will not die.
And they will not die.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you know, by the way, if you want to see about Ezekiel's vision, it's in like around chapter 9 that also talks about the mark. Mm-hmm. And it's like a revelation of the Old Testament. And if you really look closely, you'll see that each chapter kind of matches the Revelation, not the same chapter, but it certainly goes on in, I don't know, at some point in time, maybe we can even...
We'll go over those parallels between Ezekiel and Revelation.
That's right.
Because they do.
We do have a caller, but I'm going to ask the caller to hold on for just a second because I want to talk a little bit more about something here. I just have a most amazing piece of news I recently read concerning this Obamacare.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I talk about this in my newsletter this month. And in the newsletter, I give the link where you can go and read it yourself, okay? And, of course, the newsletter is on the webpage, shofarministries.net, if you don't get it mailed to you.
Okay, that's right.
But most of us know that back in 2004, the FDA approved a radio frequency ID chip that could be implanted under the skin. Now, according to Obamacare, there is a phrase in there that talks about a Class 2 device that is implantable, and I'll talk about that more in a second. But you know this ID can hold tons of information about that person. Now, as you know, they're already using it. They put, of course, a positive spin on it because they say it's going to benefit many people, like Alzheimer's patients that might wander off or keep track of criminals, child molesters, and even your animals that might get lost.
You know, and actually that is helpful. You can't deny that.
No, you can't. And I understand that. But those of us that have been waiting many years for such a device are not surprised and somewhat excited to see the beginnings of implementing what we knew would likely be used for the Mark of the Beast. Now, in Obamacare, the wording might be vague if you're not looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
But this next paragraph from Obamacare would be the wording to justify an implantable device.
Implantable, yeah. And it is legalese, so
that's
you're
right.
Going to read this. So
and
bear,
I'll just read this pretty quick, and again, I'll just explain it in a second. But
this is from H.R. 3200, section 2521, page 1001, paragraph 1.
That's right. Anyway, it says, the Secretary shall establish a national medical device to facilitate analysis of post-market safety and outcomes data on each device. Now, this would be so that you could know who was complying. That is or has been used in or on a patient.
In.
Yes. And is a Class 3 device or a Class 2 device that is implantable, life-supporting or life-sustaining. So they're putting it all together like with a, pacemaker and stuff, they're kind of grouping it.
Right.
But this is the paragraph that they'll be able to use.
This is what's going to open the door.
That's right.
To make any tracking of you legal. And that's scary.
That's right. So, I'm going to take this caller, and then when we get back, I'm going to explain what the Supreme Court is doing right now. Actually, they're discussing and what their options are.
What to do with this bill, this massive Obamacare bill. Yeah, who do we have online there?
I'm sorry to keep you waiting. We have Leslie in Bainbridge.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
how
Leslie.
Are you?
Good show, good show. Got a question for you. Thank God I'm going to be with you guys and singing up and praising, and I'm going with you. I
Amen.
Can't wait.
Amen.
But I do have a question about the Mark of the Beast.
Okay.
It's kind of a double-sided thing. Let's say someone that knows the Lord takes, you know, a moment of weakness, he takes the mark, and then repents afterward. Will that individual still be forgiven by God, and will he get into, or she get into the kingdom? And on the flip side, let's say someone takes the mark not knowing the Lord, and then learns, you know, receives Christ as the Savior and the whole bit. Will he or she at that point get forgiven, you know, be forgiven and get into the kingdom?
Well, that's a great question, Leslie, and let me give you my answer. First of all, it will not be in a moment of weakness. That mark is going to have to be an absolute choice where they will have to bow down and give homage to the beast and worship him. And it will not be through a moment of weakness. They're going to know exactly what they're doing. God will not let them be weak.
Thank God for that.
And the thing about it is it won't happen now until about at least the third year, 3.5 years actually, and they will know exactly what they're doing. Once they take that mark in Revelation, I do not see one place where it says they even want to repent. And in fact, just the opposite. They say, hide me in the rocks and that, and they blaspheme God, even though all that was happening to them. It's something changes in them. Once they take that mark, they don't even want repentance, and they don't ask for it. In fact, they instead blaspheme God.
So it's not in Scripture, then, that,
no, it is not.
That they can repent? Then.
It's in my own heart, of course, that any time anybody repents, God will forgive.
I see. Me too.
And I'm not going to deny that. But I'm a teacher, and I have to tell you that the Word does not say that.
Mm-hmm.
The Word strictly says that they will blaspheme God even more after they get the mark.
Okay. I think they're pretty much God-haters, aren't they, before
yes.
they take the mark, because they're, like, looking forward to it?
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think so, too.
You know,
really.
Because most of the people that get saved in the tribulation will do so immediately. It'll be in the very beginning.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
okay.
It makes sense.
That's a good question, Leslie.
Yes, thank you so much, and thank you for calling. Is there anything else on your mind?
No.
Okay.
I will see you.
See us out
on Friday of the month.
First
okay,
Friday?
Great. Looking forward to seeing you, Leslie.
What is that?
Okay.
May 5th? Is
bye.
It?
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
I don't know. That's the first Friday in May.
First Friday in May.
I don't know where.
Because I thought it was May 5th, but I don't know.
It's the first Friday, though, whatever date
yeah,
that is.
Whatever date that works out to be.
Okay. We got a few minutes. I'm going to go through this pretty quickly.
Okay.
Okay. Now, right now, the Supreme Court is deciding what to do about Obamacare. And let me just try to explain this. And I know, please do not let your mind sway, because you'll miss what I'm going to say and you won't understand it. Okay. This is one of those little harder gold nuggets here.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the Supreme Court is going to either do one of three things. It's going to either reject the whole thing, very unlikely. They're going to eliminate the mandate requiring all to sign on. And this is the most likely, or they're going to keep it as it is, which is highly unlikely.
Oh.
Now, again, getting back to this chip, It's set to begin early next year. And that, of course, is after he is reelected, if he's reelected. And this Obamacare starts. And it'll start with a chip and a card until all have been injected. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so, again, use a lot of spin. But the spin will be like, you know, well, we have to know exactly what you're doing because when you go to the doctor, we're going to have to know how much money to take out of your account depending on how much money you make. And by the way, people think Obamacare is free. It's not free at all. It's based on what you make. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It'll have all your personal information. It will have tracking capabilities and, again, be linked to your bank account. And, of course, we're already doing that today with debit cards anyway. So it's going to be a huge transition. And, again, they're going to spin.
So they're going to implant these things as soon as this
They'll start with a card first until everybody gets. That's what I'm understanding. Okay.
Well, I'll do a card, but I'm not going to take any kind of implantation if we're still around.
Well, that's up to you, John. But it is not the mark of the beast, just so you know.
Okay. But still, I don't want anyone implanting anything.
Well, that's the way I'm sure a lot of people will feel.
I mean, I will let them do that, but I get to implant them first with something.
But they'll be able to keep track of you.
Well, listen, what would happen? You know, what do we think? You know, like the rapture happens and we are implanted with these things, okay? This is kind of funny. The rapture happens. And we have our chips inside of us. Are they going to track us all the way up to heaven with this thing?
Well, see, now there's a good reason to get one so they know we went to heaven.
Where'd they go? We can't find. Oh, they're about 60,000 feet now and still traveling.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Wow.
All right. Well, let's get back to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
You know that our president has often stated that he wants a single-payer health insurance plan.
Yeah.
He's always said that.
Oh.
And you probably want to know what that means, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, this means that the government-only plan, okay,
mm-hmm.
with no health insurance companies at all. Now, everything he's said so far is just not really totally the truth. He's saying, oh, if you want your doctor, you can keep your doctor and blah, blah, blah. You'll be able to do all that stuff. Well, that's baloney.
Well, that's a campaign promise there, isn't it? Like
yes,
Hillary
exactly.
Clinton has explained to us so well.
But with a mandate requiring all to join, it would mean that all young people and healthy people would be included paying a set amount depending on their income. That would be the right way to keep the health insurance companies still involved because at least they would be getting, you know, the money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if the Supreme Court says that it's not constitutional,
which it isn't,
no, then most of the young and healthy would not join.
And they would join when they get sick.
Only when they get sick.
They put it off and put it off. They get sick and join. Right?
Right, because there's no exclusions for any pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's this that would bankrupt the capitalistic insurance companies and push all into the socialistic government plan, which speeds up Obama's big government agenda at a quicker rate.
So, if the Supreme Court gets rid of that mandate?
Well,
Obama's plan will succeed quicker.
That's exactly right.
And we'll be right.
Right
where we want to be, prophecy-wise. Okay.
That's right. And so he's going to act like, oh, that's really terrible. But in his heart, he's thinking, that's great. It'll get rid of the health insurance companies faster because they won't be able to afford to stay on because the healthy people won't be paying.
Well, they won't be buying. They
that's
will
right.
have no need to buy insurance.
Exactly.
And there will be no
and
need for health insurance.
They will go to the government sooner because the health insurance companies will go bankrupt.
Yeah.
So, if we are really close to the tribulation, it is my hunch that that is what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get rid of the mandate because they have to do something. I mean, they're meeting and they have to do something. So
I'm going
to
hold you. I'm going to hold you to this, Sheila.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, but
okay.
Don't do that.
I'm going to hold you to this.
I only do what I can do. But but if the whole law is overturned or Obama is not reelected, then the end time scenario will take longer.
Yeah.
But even with Romney, it's just eventually come together because the Bible says so. It'll just take a little longer, which will give us more chances to witness and a lot more evidence of his soon return.
Exactly.
We'll get more evidence of that.
Exactly.
But I have total peace with whatever happens. And so can you. If you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life yet, what are you waiting for? Don't you want this peace that passes all understanding? I know you do out there. Please take advantage of this, you know, time while you still can before the rapture to get to know him and it's such a better life. I can be happy no matter what I'm going through, because that joy is just unspeakable.
Didn't we say something from the book of Job tonight? You know that your Redeemer lives and you will stand on that day. Isn't that cool?
That's right.
So if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, do it today.
That's right.
Today
That's
is the day of salvation. Get down on your knees, repent, and ask Jesus into your heart. He's the Messiah of all. Remember, it's your choice to choose him, and you decide where you spend eternity. Remember, you want to spend eternity with God. God doesn't send anyone to hell. You decide yourself where your soul
goes. Oh, if they could
goes.
Just get that, really understand that. You make that decision where you want to spend eternity.
Yeah, the soul never dies. You decide. You decide, and God is still has plenty of mercy and
grace.
Do you
know we have all our senses after
yeah.
we die?
Uh-huh. Just as before we're legally born, we have
like
all
the
our senses.
Rich man and Lazarus, remember
yeah?
he was over there? He had all his senses. He was saying, please.
Yes, that's right. And that was a true account. That wasn't a parable.
That's right.
They had names in that account. So,
you got it right.
Now, do you have a question for Sheila? Or would you like her to speak at your church or church group or home group? Just email her, Sheila@shofarministries.net. Or just call the office, 440-834-9006. I know I do all the time. Remember, we'll be back here next Sunday discussing end time prophecy. The same time, same channel, same web address of www.whkradio.com.
Next Sunday will be our last Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be our last Sunday. But we'll go to Tuesdays after
That's
that.
That's right.
Yep. And any and all your donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. You can use PayPal on our webpage or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. And all donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter. And why not check out shofarministries.net, where all the newsletters and previous programs are archived. And Hebraic Roots teaching DVDs. And there are teaching CDs even to proving that the pre-trib rapture is going to happen. So you'll want that for your friends. So talk to your friends about the rapture. You can prove it. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing tonight. Thank you for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
Yivrechacha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Join us again. Next
Sunday,
week.
April 29th
okay.
at 6 p.m.
Okay, till then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe.
Yeah, that's Psalm 122:6.
Shalom.
Shalom. See you next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net.